It's Boardwalk Batman. His unofficial name is Atlantic City Batman, but like Boardwalk Batman just rolls off the tongue.
Boardwalk Batman. Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
I agree. Howdy, it's Monday, November 18th, 2024, and this is episode 241 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Laskin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
The Washington Capitals, question mark?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they were supposed to be bad, but they seem pretty good. I think we may have talked about this already as a what's good.
Well, you know who's not good?
Who's not good? The Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens.
I still think they're good.
They're very good. I mean, I think they're legitimately a very good football team. They just don't seem like they're going to put it together. So we'll see.
So last night, the Capitals won in Las Vegas. Let's tie it to vaguely casino-related stuff.
Okay.
They won last night in Las Vegas for the first time in the regular season, which is crazy.
Ever.
Because they won two in the Stanley Cup Final in Vegas's first season. Somebody posted yesterday they won the game and then they have to fly straight to Utah. And it's like, celebrated Vegas? No, get on plane to Mormon country.
Yeah. No, yesterday, too. Yeah, can't have any fun in Utah on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been.
You've been to Utah on a Sunday?
Yep. Nothing to be done.
Everything's closed. It's like Bergen County, New Jersey.
Pretty much. Yep. Bergen County, New Jersey.
All the stores have to be closed on Sunday in Bergen County, New Jersey. So we have some always, once, nevers. I, you know, thought we were out, like I said last episode. I remembered that I had a future always once never document.
Yeah.
The one for today is truly a choice that you will love to make.
It looks like a good choice.
Some low tier, I will call them, hotel rooms. What I've got is Tropicana Chelsea Tower, Bally's Dennis Tower, or Caesar's Forum Tower. So one of these you have to stay in once. One of these you have to then stay in all the rest of the time. And the other one you gratefully get to throw into the ocean.
So this is hard for me. I have not stayed in the Dennis Tower in quite a long time.
It's been a while. I can't imagine much has changed there.
I booked a room kind of towards the end of the Bally's run in CET for Taylor.
It was bad.
It didn't have a great look to it when I went in there, but I did not have to stay there myself.
To be fair, the Garden Tower is maybe worse.
The Garden Tower was awful when I stayed there. They were going to put me somewhere else. I'm like, no, I booked the Garden Tower. I went to my room. There was like water everywhere in the room. And I'm like, this room's not good. So I went back down and complained, and they put me in another Garden Tower. And they were going to move me again to, like, Bally's Tower or something. And I'm like, I want Garden Tower if that's available. And then it was super bad.
And they were like, why do you want this?
I wanted it because I'd never stayed there.
For the podcast. And you paid dearly.
I mean, Bally's Claridge Tower was also worse, I think, than the Dennis Tower. So.
Oh, it was really bad. I forgot all about that. Oh, that was a very bad tower at the time. I don't know if they've renovated since then, but.
People kind of like the Claridge now, I feel like.
They do seem to have positive views.
But certainly, when we stayed there, it was bad.
I mean, people also like the view bar, so people's opinions can't be trusted.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was fine.
It was very expensive, I feel like, for what it is.
It was expensive for what it was. I agree. So I haven't stayed in the Dennis Tower in a while. I imagine that it's going to be a pretty straightforward Forum Tower always, Dennis Tower, once more, Chelsea Tower into the ocean. I don't think there's a room in Atlantic City that would be worse than the Chelsea Tower, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty bad rooms, but that one was pretty rough. But I said afterwards, if I'm solo and it's my only option, would I stay there? Probably. But I think it has to go in the ocean. I think this is just such an easy choice.
Yeah. The question is between Forum Tower and Dennis Tower. I think for me, the problem with the Forum Tower is I've only ever had rooms facing inside,
right,
and it is like the sun shining in through my window in all hours of the night. It's just awful. Like, if they had good blackout curtains, it would be totally acceptable, but they don't.
Yeah, the rooms are renovated. They look fine.
Right. It's just like the sun shining in at all hours of the night. I absolutely hate that.
But I think it is straightforward. I think you've got to just go Forum always, Dennis once, Chelsea never. I have a follow-up question, which if you replace Chelsea with Tropicana West Tower, does that make it more interesting? Is West than your always, even though everybody craps all over the West Tower?
It just depends, I think. I think Forum Tower would be a very nice place to stay if you were facing the outside, which I've heard rumors that these rooms do exist, even though I've never seen one.
Right.
But assuming it's like the only room I've ever stayed in Forum Tower where you're facing the atrium, I would make West my always, for sure. I mean, I think West is unpleasant, but it's nowhere near Chelsea or Dennis or the Forum Tower rooms facing the inside of the casino.
What is unpleasant about the West Tower? Because we always talk about this. I've never stayed in it, I don't
think. It's very loud, I think, for one thing. So partly the clientele, I think, that's in the West Tower. It's not that nice. Like, last time I stayed there, which was admittedly a little while ago, it's, like, kind of bad linoleum floors everywhere. We were talking to people on the elevator who got trapped in the bathroom in the West Tower, which sounds right. Like, there's awesome. Just, like, you know, maintenance issues. But I think it's basically fine. I think it would be the best option out of the choices you gave me.
Yeah.
This is somewhere we differ, I think, and we'll talk about it with our trip coming up. I personally prefer Caesars to Trop, I think, if it's just me myself that I'm thinking about, because I think the gambling is just much better at Caesars, and I don't care as much about restaurants or whatever.
I like everything else about Trop other than the casino floor. Mm-hmm. And I don't love the Caesars casino floor, but...
I do like Caesars quite a bit to gamble at. And I know, like I said, that you don't agree with me, but...
So we can segue right into that, because we have an Atlantic City trip on the books.
Yep.
I don't know how much we want to get into it because we do have another episode before then. But the big surprise is how many people are going.
Five, right?
Five confirmed.
Yep.
Possibly a sixth, but we'll see. Although varying levels of overlap.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think we'd ever have six people there at the same time. We may only have five people there for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
So that trip is December...
14th to the 16th.
14th to the 16th.
Saturday through Monday.
Yeah, an odd one.
Yeah.
There was originally talk of Sunday to Tuesday, and I think that got adjusted.
Right. Taylor could not take 2 days off work anymore, I think. So, and I know, like I said when I sent out the email, you said you weren't going to do that anyway.
No.
So it's probably just works out better.
I think we would have lost a bunch of people.
Yeah, a bunch of people are coming up just Saturday to Sunday. Yep.
A bunch being two.
Right.
So right now, do you have anything at all booked?
I don't have anything booked. I mean, I don't even know what I'm doing Saturday night, honestly. I imagine I'm going to come up, especially because it sounds like people might be leaving kind of early Sunday.
Right.
But I'm going to be in D.C. Saturday night, so it's going to be late when I get up. I thought I was actually going to be in Baltimore Saturday night, but I'm not. It's actually D.C. where I'm going to be. So it's going to be like no earlier than midnight, I would think, that I would get there.
That is late. Yeah, I was thinking you were going to the one in Baltimore that's like 3 p.m.
Well, so I am going to 1 and 3 p.m, but it's in D.C., and then I think we're doing dinner afterwards, and then we'll go home, and I'll probably at that point just get the kids down, because it's going to be like 7 by the time we're home anyway. So. Yeah.
So I have Borgata booked for Sunday night, and what you had pitched in the email was Boardwalk to Borgata switch.
Yep.
I get Tropicana and Harrah's comped on Saturday, but those are the only places I get comped on Saturday.
Not Caesars?
Caesars is $33.
I think there's probably, with the group we're going with, maybe it makes sense to stay at Trop even if Caesars is available, just because, for one thing, the people who like gambling, we can do that at Borg plenty on Sunday.
That's
and
true.
Like, two, it might be a more entertainment-focused weekend anyway than usual.
Yeah, that's probably true. I feel like I haven't stayed in Caesars in a while, so I'm sort of like, ooh, let's stay at Caesars, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly be fine with it. I would prefer it, honestly, between the options.
It's funny, because it's the only night between December 1st... and New Year's Eve that I don't get comped at Caesars is that Saturday.
If you can't get comped, truly, the difference between $0 and $33 is just insurmountable.
Yeah, it's infinite, percentage-wise. Except that's not true because you're paying resort fees. So nope. It's really the difference between, like, $40 and $73.
I have the exact same calendar as you.
$33.
Yep, my only day not comped. Until December 30th. Yeah, Monday the 30th.
Same calendar then.
Yeah.
All right.
Could stay in the Nobu Hotel for $158.
That's actually...
It's an interesting option.
Kind of a decent price.
Yeah.
Surely worth it, right?
We should do it at some point.
Should we?
Where is it? Is that in the Ocean Tower?
It might be a couple floors in the Centurion Tower. Why am I Googling this right now?
You want to know? I thought it was the Ocean Tower. That'll be my official guess, and you can tell me.
Centurion Tower's top three floors. There you go.
All right.
85 rooms and suites.
Yeah.
On the top three floors.
158 is not that bad.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Considering that Centurion is like 88 or something.
Comes with some free Nobu, right? Surely it has to.
It's included. Yeah, you just get totally all you can eat Nobu.
Anyway, should be exciting. Hopefully we can get one or two more people to go, maybe.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah.
I think everybody said their piece one way or the other.
I'll hold out hope for your brother, but we'll see.
I'd be surprised, but I have an extra bed, so if he pops in, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll have more trip planning to discuss next episode. I have a whole bunch of questions, some of which have been briefly answered. You have a trip report Very surprising stuff.
Yeah. I know I posted on Twitter that I was putting together a trip, and I was looking and I was looking, and I almost went to Italy, but instead I went to Karachi, which is basically the same as Italy.
Italy or hurricane-ravaged Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you went with the latter.
Yeah, so I actually did go down there partially to volunteer, which I did for one day when I was down there, which was nice. I mean, it was still pretty rough. I mean, people in town were talking about how they had just gotten water back, like, wow, the day before or something. So, I mean, they had electricity back, I think, pretty quickly, within a week, maybe, but water was shut off for quite a while. But it seems like things are coming back little by little. I mean, I think there's still plenty of people without water, but there's tons of spotted pots everywhere because of the lack of running water. Was good to go down and spend some money in restaurants and breweries and things down there, though.
So what we really want to know about is casino gambling, though.
Yeah. We can talk about that. So, like I said, I spent two nights in Harris Cherokee, which was a property I wanted to visit for a really long time. And like I said, this was a good reason, as good a reason as any, to go down there.
How long was the drive?
Oh, I don't know. Really quite far. It was probably 8 or 9 hours if you didn't stop. And you went down there? I don't know. Didn't you look this up in some past episode to rub it in my face?
I think it was like 7.5 when I looked it up.
No, I think it's more than that.
Interesting.
For my house.
Google doesn't assume that you're driving 40 miles an hour, which is part of the issue.
I am truly the slowest driver in the world, it must be said. I was talking to your brother, who was like very interested because I went on the Tale of the Dragon. And he's like, well, is it like dangerous and crazy? And I'm like, absolutely not dangerous for the way I drive. But it was fun. 8 hours, 17 minutes.
Oh, that's long. Yeah, that's
what it says. So, and yes, I am truly the slowest driver that you've ever met, probably. And I also route incredibly inefficiently half the time as well.
How was the hotel at Harris?
It was nice. I stayed in the Creek Tower, which there's 4 towers there, I think. Creek, Soho, Mountain, and then there's a new, I don't know, maybe it's not new. Maybe it's way far away from all the other towers, though, Cherokee Tower. So I stayed in Creek. It was very nice. My room was very, very pleasant. Nicer than certainly any Caesars property in Atlantic City.
Really?
Yeah.
Is the casino nicer than any Caesars property in Atlantic City?
Yeah, by far. I mean, I think the only thing that's like even close to the level is probably Borgata. But Harris Cherokee, I think, is like a legitimately very nice casino. I think it's, of all the casinos I visited, which we'll get to, there was 3 of them, the one that's really worth going to if you even don't have other interests kind of in the area, which there's tons of great hiking in Asheville and, you know, other things to do around there. Yeah, I think Harris Cherokee was really, really nice. Definitely worth visiting. It's a big property. There's tons of tables. There's tons of restaurants. Tons of things to do. It's just a big property.
How were the gambling minimums, gambling conditions?
$15 for the most part.
It's not bad.
Blackjack was like it is in Maryland. It's like $25 if you want 3 to 2, but there's $10 or $15, 6 to 5, which I recommend people do not play. The only problem with both of the Harris Cherokee properties, which I'll get to, is I did not see any Pai Gow anywhere in either.
Oh, weird.
And that's like poker or tiles.
That's strange.
There was Baccarat, but no Pai Gow that I saw.
Did you play a ton of slots?
I played some slots, yes. I told you I played quite a bit of stadium gambling, and then I played quite a bit of video Ultimate Texas Hold'em as well.
How was that? You were sending me pictures of one of the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
I appreciated it.
Yeah.
For reasons that we will not be named.
It was good. It was a $5 minimum. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was a $1 minimum. I don't know who would pay $1 Ultimate Texas Hold'em, but yeah, it was good. It was fun. It was $20 in for a tier credit, which is, I think, like very reasonable for a video table game.
I would definitely play $1 Texas Hold'em. That sounds perfect. Why would I play any more than a dollar if dollar is an option?
I mean, I was playing 5 at it, so I wasn't too far away.
It's 5 times as much, some would say.
It was fun. Like I said, it was a very, very nice property. It's worth seeing. I think if you're in the area, it's in a beautiful area, beautiful surroundings, like right in the mountains. Yeah, that's it. Like, tons of restaurants, tons of other amenities, pool and spa, and et cetera, which I did not do any of that. But if you're in the market for it, it is there.
Did you do hiking?
I did some hiking, yes.
I saw you went nice. To at least one either brewery or beer garden or something.
Yeah, so I think most days while I was down there, I went to a brewery or two. For me, it's like an easy way to check out the area or whatever, and like I can always have a flight and see what's going on and buy some stuff to help the local economy, tip well and do that. But I did one brewery, I think, on Monday when I got down there. I did 2 breweries on Tuesday, which is when I was in downtown Asheville volunteering. So it was nice.
And then where to after Harris Cherokee?
Wednesday, I got up and left, and I drove to beautiful Murphy, North Carolina, where Harrah's Cherokee Valley River is, which is definitely maybe not as worth seeing if you're not going to be out there for some other reason. I mean, I think it does a bunch of business just because it's the closest casino to Atlanta, I'm pretty sure. But beyond that, it's not too much to see. Comparing it to Perryville is not entirely fair to Harrah's Cherokee Valley River, but it's like not totally dissimilar to Perryville. It's just like a small casino. I do have to say it does have the only that I've ever seen 24/7 Earl of Sandwich in there.
What?
So, took advantage of that.
How many times did you take advantage of that?
I mean, I didn't spend the night there.
Oh,
I was
you didn't
there for
that.
Like 3 hours, so only once. But I just drove out. It's about an hour away from Harrah's Cherokee, southwest of Harrah's Cherokee. So I went out and visited. Did actually quite well there. I have to say I did very badly at Harrah's Cherokee. Basically, I lost at everything I did, but I did much better at Harrah's Cherokee Valley River. So that was nice.
I'm looking at my calendar for Harrah's Cherokee Valley River, and I don't get any weekend comps, which is very surprising.
Yeah, it's much less impressive, too. I mean, it's much smaller, and they're doing a ton of construction right now. It seems like they're expanding it quite a bit, so that might take some room availability off the calendar as well.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe it's just a bunch of Atlanta people coming over, Atlanta area.
Yeah. Certainly in the parking lot, it's like basically only Georgia plates, as far as I can tell.
Oh, interesting.
Truly, there's nothing in that part of North Carolina, I think. And Atlanta is reasonably close to there, so.
Fascinating. Oh, same thing in Harrah's Cherokee. No weekends. Guess I'll never go.
Yeah. Or you could just go Monday, Tuesday night like I went.
That's true.
It was nice. It was really nice, though. Harrah's Cherokee was nice. It's worth seeing. Valley River, maybe not so much. And then, so I actually stayed in Knoxville my last night of the trip, which was actually a very cool town. I know I was telling you about it.
Yeah.
Where University of Tennessee is, so it's kind of a small college town. Not that small, but reasonably small college town. So that was cool. And then I went on my way home, which was a very long drive from Knoxville to home, over 500 miles, I think, to the grand opening on Thursday of the Hard Rock Bristol property. There was a Hard Rock Bristol open before that, but it was in the mall. Their permanent casino opened. Grand opening was on Thursday. So I went in there. It was cool. They had some big acts going on. I know everyone was super excited because Blake Shelton was coming in, and I guess they don't usually get that caliber of star in Bristol, Virginia. For Hard Rock itself, it was, I mean, for me, like, the big difference, because the North Carolina casinos are no smoking, or I think Harrah's Cherokee has, like, a smoking room, but that's it. Like, very smoky in the Hard Rock. It was quite crowded, too, because it was the grand opening. I got there about 30 minutes after doors opened at noon. I mean, it had all of the things you'd expect. It's fairly small, again, nothing like Harrah's Cherokee. Not worth going out of your way to see. There was a very small non-smoking area in the basement, which is where I did most of my play, because, like I said, it was quite smoky upstairs on the main casino floor. They did have Pai Kow Poker, one table open in the Asia room upstairs. Beyond that, yeah, it was a Hard Rock. You said when I sent you the videos that it looked like a Hard Rock, and I think that's accurate.
It very much reminded me of Hard Rock Atlantic City.
It's a very small version of the Hard Rock Atlantic City, I think.
It's funny because I think like, oh, Virginia, you know, that's not that far, but it's like
Bristol is so far away.
5 feet from the from the Tennessee border, not even yes. North Carolina. Like it's way west and ways out.
It's farther east than I was in North Carolina, certainly, but it was pretty far west.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So anyway, I would say Harrah's Cherokee, worth going out of your way to visit. It's a cool property. Harrah's Cherokee Valley River and Hard Rock Bristol, maybe not so much. But, you know, if you're in the area, it can be worthwhile to visit.
Any other thoughts on the trip? How did gambling at Hard Rock go?
I was fine, actually. I did all right at Hard Rock as well. I think I broke about even, but yeah. Down overall for the trip, because I was at Harrah's Cherokee just much longer than the other two properties where I did fine. But that's how it goes sometimes.
So is it just Hard Rock just a stop on the way home and then kept going all the way home? Or did you stay somewhere in between?
No. So I was just like a 2-hour stop on my way home. So yeah, I didn't get home until 11 o'clock or whatever on that Thursday night. So it was a long drive.
Sounds long. Fun trip?
It was over 500 miles. It was a fun trip, yes. Glad I did it. Glad I went down, visited some new places, including Nashville and Harrah's Cherokee. Glad I got to see three new casinos, two of which I were very interested in seeing. Hard Rock Bristol. It was the grand opening, so I had to. My second Hard Rock grand opening I've been at.
It's true.
Clearly, I have to go when they open the used-to-be Mirage in Vegas, right? I need to go now.
You do. That's true. Big guitar hotel right on the strip.
I have no choice.
I think that's got to be our next Vegas trip. Mm-hmm. Surely won't be crowded, hard to get rooms at all. Yes. Just, right? Just go right there.
Yep.
So you've checked Harrah's Cherokee off the list. That has been like your top.
That's been my top for years. Mm-hmm.
What is your top casino now? Or do you have one?
That I haven't been to?
Yeah.
Fontainebleau, maybe.
Oh, interesting.
It gets a lot of good press. So
Mohegan Sun is still my number one. And you going, like, I had no idea you were going to go until you texted me a picture that you were there.
Oh, Paris Cherokee. Yeah.
I was really like, oh, I got to step up my game. I need to get up to Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, I know. You've been talking about it for a long time. You need to do it.
Yeah. Although I talked to my wife about you being at Harris Cherokee solo. She sort of said, like, oh, I feel bad that I'm not, and then just kind of trailed off. Which I took to mean, like, okay with me going on these solo trips. Which is funny, because, like, in practice, right, like, it shouldn't be any different than me going and meeting you four other people in AC for two nights. But I guess it just feels different. I don't know.
My hesitation about Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods is the tables are going to be a little bit expensive. And, like, the people that I know that have been are people who really care about fine dining. And they had a bunch of good things to say about it, which is, like, a turnoff for me, which is weird. But it's probably just my biases.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that Mohegan Sun is just absolutely massive. Very, very nice. Good restaurants, cool bars. I mean, the casino is so big, so I don't know if that means that there's, like, a good variety of tables. Like, you wouldn't think Borgata has affordable stuff, and it does.
I don't even know if the limits are high. Like you said, Borgata is very reasonable limits, I think, for how nice the casino is. So I think perhaps I'm just judging it.
So we will go sample the Borgata limits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to go back to Borgata. That's a good time. I'm also excited for the Boardwalk to Borgata split.
Yeah, should be good.
Even though maybe three of us will even do the Boardwalk to Borgata split and others will only do one of those two things. But
right.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Maybe, depending if my room is neat or not, it's possible I could just come up Sunday morning too. So
right, that's true.
It might be two of you that do the split.
Yeah.
But I think I'll try to get there Saturday night, even if it's midnight when I got there. Like the time I met Paul down at also midnight.
Yeah, I mean, it means you wake up in AC, which is nice, instead of, like, getting to AC at 1 p.m. or something.
It is nicer, especially if people are going to be leaving in the morning. I can do breakfast with everyone at Gilchrist for a Trop or whatever.
That's a good point.
Hmm?
That is an argument in favor of Trop. Gilchrist, you know, that Casa is supposed to have good breakfast. Like, there's stuff in Trop. Whereas, like, if we're in Caesars, where are we getting breakfast in Caesars? You got to leave Caesars.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Breakfast at the beer garden when it's 38 degrees. Although if it's like it is now, it's probably going to be 74 degrees on December 15th. So
right. It's still quite warm here. Yeah. So,
all right. Any other trip thoughts?
No, that's it. We do have data coming out today, but it is not out as of recording time. So you guys are given a respite.
So next episode, trip preview.
Trip report, 5 minutes. Data, 40 minutes.
No, it's not going to be a report. It's going to be a preview.
Trip preview, 5 minutes.
So expect our normal, like, are we going to do this? I don't know. Are we going to do this? I don't know. It'll be good. It's what the people like. It's what they demand.
Mm-hmm.
We have our new segment pitched by you last episode, which we got some positive feedback on.
Yeah.
At least one person liked the segment.
One person who we know.
Are we calling it scenarios? Is that what you had said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Let's stick with that for now.
All right.
First, a follow-up on last episode, which I didn't give this response because I don't think it's, like, playing the game very well. To say this, but so the last segment, if you missed it, was you asking if you're, like, a group of youngish people who care about comped rooms, low-priced gambling, and what, like, dining? Was that the other thing?
Basically, low-priced gaming and comp rooms were the two big ones. But yeah, like, cheap dining, cheap parking, maybe.
Like, where should you focus your play?
Yep.
And we sort of threw out a bunch of answers, and generally I said it's hard to be, like, a nice place to hang out and also easy comps and cheap gambling. For a group of young people, because, you know, young people probably want more than resorts has to offer in terms of other non-gambling things. One thing I did not say, though, is would you actually be better off just not focusing your play at one place, spending your money on rooms, and lowering your gambling budget just a little bit, but feeling more free to hop around and just try more things until you find your home?
Are we talking about, like, economically or, like, psychologically?
Like, for your experience.
Psychologically? I don't know if that's super realistic. Just thinking back on us when we were 22, the comp room was a really big deal, more so than it is now. And I think it's funny you bring it up because I think we've talked a lot about how I think especially you really value the comp room probably more than you should now, I think.
Yeah, there's just no reason that I should care if a room is comped or if it's $150.
Right.
I should not care. I should just stay where I want to stay. And more importantly, I should stay where I want to play.
Right. When I think back to us when we were younger, the comp room was just a big deal. And so that was something we really wanted. It's maybe a prestige thing too or whatever. Like, ooh, I got a comp room. I'm making it.
I think when you're, you know, in your mid-20s or early 20s and you don't have that big of a gambling budget to begin with, getting that comp room is like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
you know, getting something for this. They really appreciate my $150 that I spent at the blackjack table last time.
Yep, yep, yep.
I also benefited a lot that when I started going, it was like, what, 2009 or 2010?
Right, when it was like the absolute worst time in Atlantic City or whatever.
Mid-recession, is so easy to get comped rooms. Caesars especially, just, you know, if you played a little bit in the Caesars network, you were getting all the Caesars properties comped. At that time, there were four because Showboat was in there.
Praise the love, man.
I guess Tropicana was not a Caesars property at that point.
Correct.
Yes, what was it? Harrah's, Showboat, Caesars,
Bally's. Harrah's, Showboat, Bally's, and Caesars, yeah.
What a time. What a time to be alive. And it was such an, not an incentive, but like an excuse to go. To be like, oh, I got a free room. Like, we should go. Even though it was really easy to get free rooms at that time. I think in theory, casino hopping is great. When I started going, it was a time where you could both casino hop and still get comps at wherever you played for, you know, a couple hours. So that was really nice. Whereas now, putting myself in the position of your scenario, if I was like, you know, 22 years old and started out, I would probably focus my play somewhere to get the comped room.
I mean, I think a big part of going to Atlantic City is spreading your play a little bit, especially when you're younger. But yeah, I think you should have a home base still and put most of your play into one place. But, you know, I don't think you should only play at one place.
You got to check out some other places for sure.
Yeah, you need to see what's out there. So I think you're doing Atlantic City wrong if you're just playing only at one property.
Yeah. Although I think a lot of people do go and like never leave the property that they're staying.
Yeah.
Especially if it's marina side.
Doing Atlantic City wrong.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. If you don't eat a meal outside of the casino, you're doing Atlantic City wrong.
Yep.
Okay, so my scenario for you is you have someone who's coming to AC from very far away. Let's say they're coming from the West Coast or from another country like the UK, which I know some people come from the UK.
Like the guys we saw in Piccadilly in their Leeds uniforms.
Yes, that's true. That's great. And they may never get back to Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
What are things that they must do? And I'll give you some prompts. A hotel to stay in, a restaurant to eat at, and some sort of activity to do. What is going to leave them feeling like they experienced the best of Atlantic City?
What activity should one do in Atlantic City? Walk the boardwalk, maybe? I mean, I think for...
snake.
For me, the restaurant and the hotel are a little bit easier, and this might be a bit surprising. Well, we'll start with the absolute not surprise. I think there's a lot of good restaurants in Atlantic City, so I think there's plenty of good places to go. To me, the only thing that really stands out that I think people really should do is I think you should go to Gilchrist and eat the pancakes if you're in Atlantic City. That's the one five-star thing in terms of restaurants. Like, I think there's some very good restaurants in Atlantic City, but are they different than very good restaurants in New York or Philadelphia or, like, wherever else? Probably not at some level. But I would say you have to go to Gilchrist, preferably the one in Gardner Spaces. You have to get the pancakes. If it's nice out, you have to sit on the dock while you eat out there.
Yeah, it's tough for me to tell someone from 3,000 miles away or across an ocean that they have to go get Gilchrist pancakes. But I agree, it is the one thing that's like really differentiates.
Right. Could you have a nice time at Knife and Fork or at Docks or at wherever? 100%, and you should do something like that. But no one of those restaurants stands out to me as like you have to go there versus like the other 10 good options that there are.
Yeah, like Docks is excellent, but you can find Docks-esque places.
Everywhere.
Other places. So even if I wasn't going Docks or Gilchrist, it would have to be some other more unique restaurant. There are some unique spots, obviously, in Atlantic City.
Tony's Baltimore Grill, I think, is a cool spot that if you want a pizza, it's a good place to go and have a few beers and have a pizza. I think somewhere like that, I would recommend higher than Knife and Fork or whatever.
What about Angeloni's Club Madrid?
Angeloni's Club Madrid is cool. I mean, I can't really say too much about the food.
Yeah.
If you're into cocktails, I think it's a good place to go. If you're into Atlantic City itself, which I don't know why you would if you're just visiting one time, it might not really be worth it. It's like a bit out of the way, too. And if cities make you uncomfortable, you might not love the walk to get there or whatever. But I think that could be worth it depending on what you're into and your comfort level with walking around.
What about Rainforest Cafe?
All right. So restaurant, number one choice, pancakes at Gilchrist. Number two choice, pizza and beer at Tony's Baltimore Grill, I think for me. Hotel to stay at, I'm going to give you maybe a bit of a curveball and say if you're going to stay at one hotel for one night in Atlantic City, I think it should be Ocean, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Borgata is nicer, I think, in quotes, but the thing that differentiates Atlantic City is the ocean, and you don't really get a lot of the ocean at Borgata.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you have to see Borgata just because I do think it's the best casino in AC. But like, mm-hmm. if you're trying to wow somebody from some other part of the world,
right?
Ocean is the only answer.
Right.
It is objectively the standout property in Atlantic City. Borgata is like a very, very nice casino that does a lot of things very well, but you've seen that casino other places. Like, it's not going to blow you away as something totally different. Whereas when you walk into that casino in Ocean and you can actually see the ocean, that is extremely different than what you're getting at other casinos.
It is, and to go a step farther, I think Ocean is kind of a bad casino that does a lot of stupid things. But still, if you're going to be one place and want to be like, yeah, this is Atlantic City, I do think the hotel and casino at Ocean is the place you have to do.
Yeah. Agreed with that. So same answer on Ocean. I don't know if I actually legitimately gave a restaurant, although I do think Angeloni's Club Madrid is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
An activity. I mean, you said walk the boardwalk. I do think that is sort of the must do.
Go to the beer garden maybe or something if it's a nice day out. Walk the boardwalk. Nothing really stands out as an activity to me other than checking out a few casinos if that's what you want to do. That's what you should do. Just like the normal thing to do in Vegas, I think, is just check out all the casinos, right?
Is there anything else you have in sort of your highly recommended list for people who are maybe even only going to AC one time?
Gilchrist, Tony's Baltimore Grill, Beer Garden, Ocean, Borgata. I think those are the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good list. Like, if you're only going once, you're probably going to spend a lot of time casino hopping and checking out the different casinos.
Right, and you should do that.
You will probably disagree, but I think popping into Irish Pub is interesting.
I think it's worthwhile. I mean,
like, go sit and get a Guinness.
Make sure you've got a $5 bill with you, and you know, because they do not take credit cards there, and get your Guinness. And
so, yeah, I think that's a good list.
Yeah, I'm happy with it too.
We need people to send in scenarios for us. We can't keep making these up by ourselves. We need people to send them in.
Send them in.
Anything else?
I think that's about it. So if you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doForWin. Find all of our great content at doForWin.com, but you can't buy a shirt. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at DoForWin or me at Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions to DoForWin@gmail.com. When are we getting our Blue Sky account, Craig?
We have one. I just haven't posted anything.
Oh, you have one. I see. Because I know you've said that that's what you personally use now. So I didn't know if we should be cross-posting everything. Probably we should, right?
I'd never post anything on either, so.
Right.
To cross-post involves the same amount of posting that I'm already doing. I was trying to figure out where all do I need to be for maximum visibility of the Do For Win podcast, which, as you can tell, we really care about.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, it looked like it was going to be Threads and Twitter. I guess X. I don't know. I'm still calling it
Everything
Twitter.
I've read about Threads is that it's terrible.
But yeah, Threads sucks, man. Like, I have it on my phone. It's just constant notifications about stuff I don't care about. Like, it just makes no sense to me.
There is no following in Threads, right? Equivalent. Like, it just will only show you what the algorithm decides you want.
It seems that way.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Decides I want a lot of stuff from people I don't actually follow.
Like, that's why I don't use Facebook anymore, because they did that. So
yeah, so I don't know. I'll figure it out. But it definitely seems like there are a lot of people on both of those platforms now, and I don't really want to post to three different places, but I should probably start doing that in the same diligent manner that I also post all of our podcasts to YouTube.
Indeed. Hey, we would get 10-15 views on all those. It's worthwhile.
Worth it. The sponsors are coming out of the woodwork. They are trying to get us to...
Yeah, what are we hawking now? You sent me an email when I was in Cherokee, but I don't remember what it was. But I was excited because they said they really loved our podcast in a way that was very disingenuous.
Some sort of... It's not an energy drink. It's some other beverage. It's supposed to, I don't know, make you smarter or something.
Sounds delicious if they're paying us.
That's true. That's a good point. Delicious to the tune of dollars in my pocket, except it never works out where they pay you.
No.
They just send you products.
All right. So we'll be back in a couple weeks with a bit more trip planning and with a side of some October data. And we'll talk to you all then. You could come over Christmas morning to our house. We could record a special Christmas Do For Win together.
We can, like, sing Christmas carols on the episode.
It'll be good.
Be great.
Truly what the people are demanding.
I do listen, or I used to listen to a podcast that did all sorts of, like, holiday special themed episodes with, like, games and, like, they write whole stories and act them out, which generally I did not think were their best episodes, but that's just so much effort that I'm sorry, Do For Win listeners. It's not going to happen.
I mean, no one wants that. I don't want that. I'd be annoyed if I put on one of my podcasts and it's like, a special Christmas episode.
We're just totally doing like an Atlantic City themed version of a Christmas carol.
Right.
You don't think people would want that?
The Ghost of Christmas Past?
Yeah.
Who would obviously be Donald Trump, right?